Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wounded Blue Hour with your host, Randy Sutton, retired police lieutenant, founder of the Wounded Blue, author of A Cop's Life and the soon-to-be-released Rescuing 911, The Fight for America's Safety. And you can find that at rescuing911.org. This show is devoted to the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health of America's frontline police officers. And this is a particularly poignant time to have what I call our reality check. Each week, we talk about and eulogize, memorialize the officers who gave their lives in the line of duty. The last show I did, I was incredibly happy to have no names to read, which is the first time in a long, long time. But this week, unfortunately, those odds caught up with us. So let's do end of watch. The first officer I'm going to talk about, Police Officer Horan Randy Tyler, Madison Police Department, Mississippi. Police Officer Horan Tyler was shot and killed during a tactical operation at a home on Terrapin Hill Road in Brandon, Mississippi. A subject armed with a rifle and a handgun and wearing a bulletproof vest had broken into the home about 1:20 a.m. and taken two women hostage. As Brandon Police Department officers arrived at the scene, one of the women was able to escape, but the second remained a hostage. Negotiators were able to arrange for the release of the hostage, but the man remained in the home. At approximately 6 a.m., he opened fire on officers, critically wounding an officer with the Brandon Police Department. The Madison Police Department's special response team responded to the scene as part of a mutual aid request as negotiators continued to have the man surrender. The man opened fire on officers a second time. At about 9:30, an officer Tyler was mortally wounded. The subject was also killed in the exchange. Officer Tyler had served with the Madison Police for 7 years, was the supervisor of the Narcotics Division. He had previously retired as the police chief of Ridgeland Police Department after serving 27 years. Police Officer Horan Randy Tyler, Madison Police Department, Mississippi. End of watch Thursday, June 1st, 2023. The next is Corrections Officer Deputy Marcus Ziegler of the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office in Ohio. Corrections Officer Deputy Marcus Ziegler passed away after suffering a medical emergency during participation in a mandatory running activities at the Great Oaks Police Academy in Sharonville. He was transported to a local hospital where he passed away 2 days later. He had served the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office for 9 months as a corrections deputy and was assigned to the Patrol Academy. He is survived by his wife and 5 children. Corrections Deputy Marcus Ziegler, Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, Ohio. End of watch Friday, May 26, 2023. The next, Sergeant Corey Maynard, West Virginia State Police. Sergeant Corey Maynard was shot and killed while responding to a shooting call in the Beach Creek area of Mingo County at about 3:30 p.m. The subject opened fire on responding officers, fatally wounding Sergeant Maynard. The man had fled the scene but was captured approximately 6 hours later. Sergeant Maynard has served with the West Virginia Police for over 15 years. Sergeant Corey Maynard, West Virginia State Police, West Virginia. End of watch Friday, June 2nd, 2023. Corporal Sean Kelly, Denham Springs Police Department, Louisiana. Corporal Sean Kelly succumbed to gunshot wounds sustained on May 11th after responding to a disorderly subject call at the Spring Park Plaza on South Range Road. A man had been involved in several road rage incidents in the area and was arguing with a woman he did not know in the parking lot of the shopping center. Corporal Kelly was working a traffic assignment but responded to the scene because patrol officers were on other calls. As he and another officer arrived at the scene, the man opened fire from his car, striking Corporal Kelly multiple times. The man fled but was shot and killed by a Livingston Parish Sheriff's deputy after he approached the deputy holding a gun. Corporal Kelly was transported to local hospital, where he remained in critical condition until succumbing to his wounds 22 days later on June 2nd. Corporal Kelly had served with the Denham Springs Police Department for 4 years. He had previously served with the Louisiana Department of Corrections, had a total of 29 years as a law enforcement officer. Corporal Sean Kelly, Denham Springs Police, Louisiana. End of watch, Friday, June 2nd, 2023. Each of these officers gave their lives in the line of duty, serving and protecting. And besides those officers who were killed in the line of duty, this year so far, more than 160 police officers, law enforcement officers, have been shot in the line of duty. That's an astounding number. And it doesn't even include all of the other physical assaults that have been facing and plaguing law enforcement. So this is the reality check. This is what the reality is for every law enforcement officer in America. May they rest in peace. So I have a great guest waiting in the waiting room for us. His resume is too long for me to read the whole damn thing. I tried to get him to cut it down, but there's just too much here. Mike Pellegrino is my guest today. And Mike Pellegrino and I have known each other for a number of years. We actually served at neighboring police departments many years ago. And he retired from the Ewing Township Police Department as a detective. He's got a long list of accomplishments. And in addition to being a Medal of Honor recipient, he had a great deal of time with the Police Benevolent Association working on health and wellness, and is a master resiliency trainer. He is also the founder of an incredible organization that is growing by leaps and bounds and really making a major difference in the law enforcement community. It's called Resilient Minds on the Front Lines. With me today, my guest, Michael Pellegrino. Michael, welcome.
How you doing, Randy? How's everything going?
Everything is fantastic here in sunny Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're here in southern New Jersey right now, and we're dealing a lot with the fires from Canada. So it's very smoggy. It's very heavy here.
That's it. Yeah,
down there.
I've seen some of the pictures. It's really frightening. It looks basically surreal.
Yeah, and if it's crazy because it's a beautifully sunny day here, and really and truly can't even see the sun, can't see anything because of the smog and everything. So it's pretty bad. It's pretty surreal down here.
And you are there with your company, Resilient Minds on the Front Lines, putting on a training class for law enforcement officers. We're going to get into that. But before we do, I want you to talk a little bit about your police career and what led you to gain such a focus on resiliency and dealing with the traumas that law enforcement officers face every single day. Let's talk about, you know, what was it that brought you into policing to begin with?
Yeah, well, policing, I never knew what I was going to be when I was growing up. You know, that's funny because I became a police officer at 18 years old or 19 years old. I was in the academy, and I can remember I always wanted to be a fireman. And one of the police officers from the department who came to the fire department a lot, handed me an application and said, "You're going to take this test." And I wound up taking the test and doing pretty well on it. And I just figured they were never going to hire an 18 or 19 year old police officer at that time. So unbeknownst to me, that's how my career started. And I always had a knack. I always had a want to help people. And that was always something that was my why in my life, my purpose in my life. And never did I think that policing was going to be that way, but it led me through a wonderful career, ups, downs, you know, through ins, through outs and everything. But the one thing that really I have to talk about is police suicide. And it hit home a couple times with uh, one one gentleman who was in my wedding, great friend of mine, and you know, a couple other officers, and you know, just I have a heavy heart for that. So you know, for me, it's all about making sure that that doesn't happen again.
You did a lot of time on street assignments. You were a detective. You were a school resource officer. You did investigative work. What was it in your career that you really, that gave you the most fulfillment?
I'll tell you, there was nothing better than being a school resource officer. Being in the schools with the kids and building those bonds at the young ages, the police and being that. And I'm actually speaking at an event next week at the War Memorial down in Trenton. And one of the things that I really, really do believe is when you can build them bonds young in an age and be able to keep them bonds going throughout, that's really, really important. So I would say the most fulfilling was being a school resource officer and police officer in the schools. And teaching DARE, teaching GREAT, and teaching, you know, all those other things that go along in that. And just having great conversations with the kids. You know, and I have a funny story with this, Randy, and it goes back to a gentleman in second grade now. And never did I think that, you never think that when you're talking to somebody or you're ever not talking to him, but going through what you're going through and he's going through what he's going through. And you never think that you make a difference in somebody else's life. But 15, 16 years later, I get a text message from him with a picture of him graduating. And it's amazing. He graduated and he said some of the things that I said to him when he was in second grade really resonated. And now he's a college graduate. And I asked him, I said, you know, where are you living at? What's going on in your life? As he texted me and he goes, I'm living in Henderson, Nevada right now. And just happened coming out to Henderson, Nevada 2 weeks later. And him and I met up and had dinner out there. And I tell this story all over because I really do believe it's important. You never know who you're going to make that difference in. And with that, it's important to understand you never know how your story can change somebody else's trajectory of their life as well.
You know, I think what you just said is so spot on. It's about the legacy. It's the legacy that you leave as a police officer. And, you know, it's not talked about as much as it should be, because that legacy can literally change the trajectory of multiple people's lives over a law enforcement career. But you're right. We don't, in fact, probably most of the time, we don't know how we affect the lives of others. But that being in our consciousness, that being part of our thought process, is something that I think is really critical to being an effective police officer and leaving the world a little bit better than we found it. So it's I couldn't agree more. That I'm glad you were able to actually hear that from the lips of someone who you played a role in their life, and then years later it comes back full circle. It puts a smile on my face to hear that. So you're now really focused on the making the lives of police officers safer, not necessarily because of the physical aspects, but because of the incredible amount of stress our officers are going through, not just from the job, but then from all the other parts of the stressors that come from exterior. You're talking about politics. You're talking about department administrators. You're talking about the stresses of family life. And then it all plays a role, though, in how officers deal with these issues and if they can do so in a healthy way. What is it that you created this amazing organization, Resilient Minds, on the front lines. Tell us about the what it was that in your life wanted you to go this extra mile. And you know, you had a very comfortable retirement. You've got another business that you know, does very, very well. Why did you feel necessary to go to this length to create something that you believe will have a very positive impact on cops around the country?
Well, it's very important, and this is the most important thing to me. It's not about me, it's about we. We have family at Resilient Minds, and we have some wonderful, wonderful people that have created a curriculum not based on positive toxicity, but based on brain science and based on making sure that we try to create new neural pathways for people, and that's just creating new habits in life. So our curriculum team is the one who really gets all the credit for this. My wife and I, we were sitting at the kitchen table one time during the pandemic. We were in a lockdown, and really what happened was I looked at her after spending 8 hours on the telephone with two police officers, worried about, what was going to happen, if they were going to die, whatever it was going to be. And I remember reaching out to all our contacts across the country. And I had just gotten back from Quantico in the FBI Academy, the National Academy, going through a resiliency program. And I can remember calling all of our resources and basically asking them, hey, listen, I want to do a webcast series. And that webcast series, I want to give people four things. I want to give them hope. I want to give them positivity. I want to give them a resiliency tool. And I want to give them resources. And unbeknownst to us, we our group put together 34 webcasts and hit 76 countries in all 50 states. And, there was people that wanted more and more and more. And, people could watch it from their home. They could get something out of it. And, it was just kind of something that people were downloading. And I heard, people were watching it in roll calls, musters, and all that stuff. And we had, guys like Merrill Hodge. We had guys like Paul Butler, Joe Collins, Bill Mazur, and all these, Buddy Johnson, all these people from all over the country. And Dr. Kay Tumulty Felice was, she kind of wrapped it all up with Michael Wiltsey and Dr. Michael Wiltsey and a Bo, kind of giving everybody those little nuggets in that 15 minutes of hope. And, that's when we realized that we needed to do more. And Resilient Minds was kind of born at the table. But Resilient Minds is all about we, not me, because, again, what they did and our curriculum team did is put together something that you can't even imagine. And now we have kind of morphed into, five other things that we're also facilitating as well, too. Now we have the police chaplains program, which is an unbelievable program that we teach police chaplains. And, they do a two-day go into how to do death notifications and how to help out at police funerals and a lot of different things that we kind of forget about. We also do a training.
Let me stop you there. I want to talk about police chaplains.
Sure.
In the police world, there's about 17,000 different police agencies, 18,000. And the vast majority of those departments have fewer than 20 police officers. So they don't have a lot of the resources that a larger department would have. The role of a chaplain is a very misunderstood role, especially in law enforcement. Not all departments have chaplains. Many that have don't really know what to do with them. And so it's an interesting and yet very little known role. How do you view the police chaplain in our society?
I say they're a resource that I wish I had more of in when I was a police officer, because Gary Holden, who was one of my closest friends, now is the director of that division of Resilient Minds, the police chaplains program, and now we're getting into chaplains in the schools and training chaplains, you know, all over. But more importantly, what they have to offer is that ear, is that arm, and you know, so many people kind of forget about that. It's just what they do is they're kind of like the unsung heroes. And I know when I had gone through my things, I had went to my pastor, not really realizing that we had a chaplain, but it was more, you know, the chaplains were there more to do prayers at the gala or the police officer of the year dinner or anything like that. We really didn't have one that was embedded in our department. And, you know, that to me is, you know, that's a pretty big arm of what we do, and how that could be a great resource to any department is having that non-judgmental ear. And it's not religious. You know, it could be as spiritual as you want it to be, but it's just that non-judgmental ear that they're there for you. And there's a whole confidentiality portion of that as well too, which is great. So that's something that they all teach and all facilitate throughout the program is to have that with them. And I can tell you how many death notifications, I can't even tell you how many death notifications that you do, but having that as a resource to be able to have them with you when you're doing that death notification is second to none now. So I think that, you know, I think that police departments and agencies should take advantage of that. And having trained chaplains is so very important, Randy. I can't even stress it enough.
And I want our viewers and listeners to know that police chaplains are generally speaking not police officers. They're not sworn officers who take on the role of chaplain. They're civilians who are ordained as ministers or rabbis or whatever their particular religious affiliation is. And so these are volunteers, which to me is adds another dimension. These are people who are so giving, who are so caring, sure, and yet they are also willing to take on, you know, the very traumas that they are helping officers deal with, they are dealing with as well. You know, you talk about death notifications. I, when I was a police officer in New Jersey, that was one of the things that I had to do. In Las Vegas, that's a job for the coroner's office, which I was so happy never to have to be forced to do another death notification when I came here. There's nothing more heartbreaking than telling a loved one that somebody that they love has died. It's the worst thing I can imagine. So having a resource like a chaplain is truly I guess maybe I should forgive the pun, but a godsend.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gary, who has his own story to tell, but Gary developed the police chaplains program because he was a chaplain in 9/11. And, the first person to die at 9/11 was Father Michael Judge. And Father Judge, you know, is actually number one. And he was the police, he was the fire chaplain for the FDNY. And, you know, what they do is just amazing. And they do it not to get paid for it, if not for any other reason, is because they want to be there to help.
Yeah, they're truly some of the most selfless people in law enforcement, and I'm so happy that you have a training course for them, enables them to get the experience that they need so that they can do their jobs properly, and also enable more and more chaplains to come into the fold, so to speak. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deep. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients supporting all four stages of sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code Out Loud at CofixRx.com.
Here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. AmericaOutLoud.com. 7 amazing years. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
1 Nation Coffee, 1 Nation Coffee, patriotic, veteran-owned, very, very good coffee. I actually went down and visited their roasting facility and met with the folks down there, John and his crew, and they are amazing people. The coffee is delicious. You order it online, they bring it right to your house. You can get the ground coffee, you can get beans. I like to grind my own. They've got also got these, the containers that you put in your Keurig or whatever that thing is called. So 1 Nation Coffee, go to 1NationCoffee.com, order your coffee, and you'll get great coffee, and you'll be supporting a patriotic company that supports the Wounded Blue. So go to 1NationCoffee.com. Well, everything we do on this show is directed towards the health, the welfare, the safety of the American law enforcement officer. That's why this show exists. So I'm going to tell you about a couple different things. First of all, I want to tell you about a product. And this is a really unique product. It's called OfficerPrivacy.com. Now, what the hell is OfficerPrivacy.com? It is a methodology that was designed by a police lieutenant in California who saw that it is easy as could be to find you and personal information about you on the internet. If you're a law enforcement officer, I tell you this, I don't feel comfortable having my name and address and personal information about myself plastered over the internet where some creep can find it. And we all know that there are people from Antifa, that there are people who are doxing cops across the nation. Officer privacy makes it a whole lot harder to get information about you. I was shocked at how many references to my home address were on the internet. Well, what they do is they actually have a staff, and everybody's a former law enforcement officer. And they actually go in to your, they scrub information about you off of the internet. And that's really, really important to me. Like I said, I was shocked at how easy I was to find. And, you know, for your sake, for your family's sake, it's not expensive. Pete and his folks do an amazing job. So go to officerprivacy.com. Check it out. You have absolutely nothing to lose. And I can tell you that I have gotten a lot of calls from folks that I have sent to Officer Privacy. And they were shocked as well as I was about the amount of information that's out there available. So go to officerprivacy.com. Now, a couple other things that I want to talk about. The Wounded Blue. The Wounded Blue is the national assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers, a nationwide charity that's helped more than 15,000 law enforcement officers in the last 4 years and a few months. That's an astounding number. The peer team, the peer advocate support team of the Wounded Blue, are heroes. They are men and women, all who have been shot or stabbed or beaten or run over or faced serious post-traumatic stress injuries and have come out on the other side. And they continue to serve. They continue to serve in miraculous ways, saving other people's lives, up to and including that. That's how dramatic it is. Because once you're injured in the line of duty, either physically or emotionally and psychologically, you feel alone. You feel abandoned. I know. I went through it. And the men and women of this team are incredible people who continue to serve. We're easy to find. If you're struggling or you know someone who is, about 80% of the people that we service come from others, officers who we have helped. And you can't get any better than that, knowing that you're doing the right thing. So you can find us, go to the internet, thewoundedblue.org, and reach out to us send us a little message there. We have a phone number up there you can call, or hit us up on Facebook. We get a lot of requests on Facebook as well. So if you're struggling or you know someone who is, be that friend, contact us. Now, the other part of that coin is this is a charity, and we can't do it alone. We need your help. And I'm asking you for your help. If you go to thewoundedblue.org, hit that donate button and give what you can. 10 bucks a month, 12 bucks a month, whatever it is. And if you want to really be a supporter and become a sponsor of, say, our next National Law Enforcement Survival Summit, which is coming up in September in Las Vegas, if you're a police officer, you do not want to miss this. This is every aspect of surviving a law enforcement career. Dave Grossman is going to be there. Dave and Betsy Smith are going to be there. I'll be there. And some of the most incredible speakers. There's going to be a special speaker from who is you'll recognize him when you see him. He's one of the most famous actors in the business now, who is a massive supporter of law enforcement. So it's not expensive. It's $295. If your department won't pay for it, pay for it yourself. If you are a law enforcement leader, contact me, Randy, at thewoundedblue.org, and let's get some of your people in this survival summit. It may save a life. So those are my messages to you. Let's bring Mike Pellegrino back in. Hey, Mike, you know, so I was talking about the Survival Summit, and of course, your entire business now, your life revolves around this same mission. You know, that's where we cross paths in such an important way, and so that the Wounded Blue can support Resilient Minds, and Resilient Minds works together with the Wounded Blue in order to, because nobody can do this job alone. And I know that you have seen the challenges and how widespread these challenges are facing our law enforcement community.
Yeah, and it's not only in, you know, it's not only on the job, but, it, you know, we look at a lot of different things. We have a whole platform now that we do financial resiliency. We think that's very, very important, you know, helping officers when they first come on the job to be able to manage their money and don't get caught up with advisors in the beginning. Get caught up with, you know, financial coaches so that they can show you the velocity of a dollar on how to save and how to spend the right way and not using depreciating assets to buy appreciating assets, but do it the opposite way. So understanding how to do all that stuff. So we're really excited to be able to have a whole platform of things that we can offer, not only officers, but now we're getting into other professions as well, because we have realized that there's not one person in America that couldn't benefit from mental wellness and resiliency. But our heart and our soul is in, you know, first responders and law enforcement, because obviously that's my why in my life is to make sure that no one suffers in silence.
Let's talk about the curriculum that Resilient Minds is now offering. You are continuing to grow this idea. So just what are the aspects of it? If I'm a police officer, what is it that I know that I'm going to get from Resilient Minds should I attend?
Well, I like to use the words Bill Mazur says. You need to become self-aware so that you can self-manage. And I think that's an important little nugget there, because when we're aware of what we need to do, we can better manage what we need to do. And what Resilient Minds does is gives you tools for your toolbox to be able to not only survive a 25, 30, 35 year career, but thrive in it as well too. By being able to, when you hit that spiral, when you hit that skid, when you come up to year 6, 7, 8 and things are, you know, and just in a lull, you can recognize some of those and be able to use some of the tools. And one of my go-to tools is gratitude. I am grateful. And when I find myself slipping, I just go to my go-to tool, and that's being grateful. And every morning before my feet even hit the floor, I'm writing three things down that I'm grateful for. And I think that's probably one of the most important things that, you know, people will get out of the Resilient Minds program. But understanding more is how to be able to know yourself when you are hitting that low, and being able to use the term we like to use a lot, catch yourself catching yourself. And when you can catch yourself before you hit that downward spiral and be able to jump from the negative over to the positive, you're going to be able to sustain a nice long career there. And understanding that, we have to always make sure that it's not a one size fits all tool. That's why we offer, you know, anywhere between 9 and 12 tools that you might be able to utilize during the program. ABC plus D&E, that would mean something to you. Communication, strengths, weaknesses, focusing on, you know, different words and how you say things, and being able to have a clear, concise way to communicate. And, I said in the beginning, and I think I made you laugh a little bit, I said, I don't remember a lot of people's titles, but I do remember how they made me feel in my life. And, I always can relate back to all the things that I went through in my life, in my career, and to say, hey, listen, what did I learn from that? And I like to use the term, I didn't win and lose in life. I lived and I learned. And that's really, really important to understand some of them facts right now going through some of this time, because as you know, Randy, and we get these phone calls all the time. How can I get out of the profession? What can I do? You know, I need to find another job. You just need to understand, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. These are some of the tools that you can utilize. And I try to tell people a lot of the times, this too shall end. And, you know, what we're going through right now in law enforcement and the things that are happening, I know that, you know, the majority of the people out there are really supportive.
Yeah, I think that's an important note that I fully believe the same thing, that most Americans believe in and trust in their law enforcement. In fact, there have been a number of studies done which reflect just that. Now, you'll never see that on CNN. You'll never see that on the mainstream media because it doesn't go along with the narrative. But that's that is the truth. That is the reality. But, of course, law enforcement is facing some of the most challenging times that I've ever seen in decades. We're seeing the wholesale resignations and retirements of police officers from big cities and small towns. We're seeing a severe drop in the number of people who are willing to actually even come take the police test. And then we're also seeing, and I think this is a topic that I really want to explore with you, we're seeing within the law enforcement community the desperation to put people into uniforms, right? We're seeing, you know, that there is such a lack of police officers in many, many cities across the United States that there is a movement to actually diminish the standards, both physically and also, their educational standards and their training standards. We have now seen major police departments like New York, LA, who have done away with the physical fitness exam. It's madness. But here's my question to you. You're going to continue to see these problems that develop from the stresses of being a police officer. And many of these officers that are now filling the ranks are not the same or have not been given the same ability to thrive and to succeed because they were hired under standards that were diminished. How do you think this is going to affect the emotional and mental well-being of this new generation of police officers?
You know, we're seeing, Randy, is a lot of the younger generation has what we call a better work-life balance than I had. And understanding I would have stayed in my uniform for 24 hours a day working and having that work-life balance. So, you know, to answer that question in a, you know, I really have just touched the iceberg with that. But more importantly, I want to focus on the resiliency portion of it. We usually get, the officers when they're problematic or anything like that. And we're finding now in taking the program and understanding the brain science of it, they're coming out on the higher end a little bit. So for us, I haven't really dived deep into that, that subject too much, but I want to just really focus on, that portion of it, the younger generation having that work-life balance and coming on that side. I hope that kind of answers the question a little bit, but for me, it's for us at Resilient Minds, we really focus on the officer and the wellness of that person and the mental strength to hit that when they do hit that soft spot and they do start to spiral down to be able to catch themselves and spiral back up.
Well, one thing that's really critically important is that this training and this, training is a word that's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, training can be, in a specific skill, a physical skill. But when you're talking about a subject like resilience, yes, it is training, but it is really mind influencing. It's filling ideas, and it's giving people giving them the ability to know that their they're going to go through challenges. They're going to face things that are going to be very disturbing for them. And, you know, I don't think we do a great job in our police academies preparing these men and women for what they're really going to see. They're going to see the worst part of life. They're going to see violence like they've never even, that they could even imagine, the cruelty. And then they're going to see, you know, there's the exterior influences. There's the, you know, the crime. There's the, you know, bad guys that, you know, being confronted with true evil, which occurs occasionally. But then there's the other part of the equation, and that is from within. You know, one of the things that I think is so incredibly important is to train administrators and training administrators in how to utilize this type of concept, resilience, for the betterment of their officers, but at the same time, not putting undue stress on those officers, which you and I have both seen time after time after time.
Yeah. There's a fine line there, Randy, because, you know, obviously the we have our own values and our own morals in our life, and then the agency has their values and what they need to accomplish, and sometimes they could clash, and that's something that is definitely I think that this is a great program for leadership to understand, hey, listen, we never know what's going on behind closed doors. We never know what's going on behind that officer's life. We don't know what's going on. I can almost guarantee you that if you see an officer that is, whether it's minor complaints or whether it's major complaints, I can tell you there's probably something going on in their personal life. Without a doubt. And getting to the root of the problem, we always want to, say, okay, it's a work problem. Sometimes, you know, most of the time, I would say in the high 90% of the time, there's something going on in that officer's life. And to take the human portion of it and make it a reality is being able for a leader to call that person in and say, hey, listen, what's going on? What's happening? And really, truly being able to have the resources in line to be able to get them the help that they need if, in fact, that, you know, they are spiraling. So really, to find out what's going on in that person's life is so, so very important, because now that person feels valued. And we look at every officer as an investment. Every person, you know, whether it's a county, state, federal, somebody made an investment in that person. And we have to make sure that we protect that investment, because we can do all the physical portions of this job that we want. But if we're not working from the neck up on somebody and getting them the help that they need in the mind and the brain and being able to focus on what's important now, I think that's really, really where it's at. We go to the gym and we work out. We work out from the neck down. How many times do we go to the gym and work from the neck up?
For sure. And you know, while we're on this topic, you're in the state of New Jersey. You were a police officer there. And the state of New Jersey, shockingly to me, is probably one of the most cutting edge states when it comes to dealing with the emotional and mental well-being of police officers. There have been a number of programs put into place. Of course, programs are only as good as the people that are part of it.
Yes.
But sometimes we all know that their departments just want to check the box, right? They've been mandated to do certain things, and so they do them. But that doesn't mean they're going to be effective. But New Jersey has made more efforts than many, many states. But are you seeing that in other states around the country, we're finally getting to see this topic being taken seriously, and an embracing of this knowledge that we haven't done a great job with it, and it's time to really up our game?
I couldn't agree with you more, Randy. I see it. We're getting calls from all over, not only all over the country, but all over the world. And, you know, people want to get it into their posts. People want to get it into their, you know, into their police academies. When you have a strong officer, when you have them mentally and physically thinking along the same lines, especially mentally, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have a better agency. You're going to have less complaints. You're going to have less use of force complaints. You're going to have a lot less things going on when you have a healthy department. And it starts mentally, and, you know, it starts with the leadership. And leadership is one word and one word only, and that's being able to influence. And when you have that influential aspect of leadership, and you are able to lead from the front and be able to do and be able to walk the walk, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a department that's going to be there and back you up and a million times over. And it all starts with the mental wellness portion of it.
How can people who are watching this program or listening to it get more information about Resilient Minds? How do they contact you?
They can go right to our website, resilientminds.us. That's resilientminds.us, resilientminds.us. And you can go and read our bios. You can go and read about what we can offer. And I just ask you, you know, please feel free to contact me anytime. You can email me at mpellegrino. That's my first initial last name, P-E-L-L-E-G-R-I-N-O, at resilientminds.us. And we will be more than glad to set up anything, any Zoom, any kind of information sharing, whatever we can to be able to get your officers the help that they need. And that's so, so very important to us as well. Because we like to create what we call the Me Too language, not Me Too the movement, Me Too that happened. Because when you can create that, that's being authentic and authenticity. And we like to be able to create that same language, because that's what we focus on.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, you're very, very authentic. Mike, you're doing great work. You're touching a lot of lives. And at the same time, you are fulfilling your own personal mission by touching these lives. So it comes from the right place. And to my audience, I can tell you this, that I have 110% confidence in Mike Pellegrino and his team over at Resilient Minds. I know them all. I've attended some of their training. In fact, the Wounded Blues CEO has just spent several days going through additional training that, and we're working together. And the reason we are is because the job of helping our police officers cannot be done by one group, by one company, by one organization. It has to be done by people who care, people who work together. And so I'm very proud to be working with Mike Pellegrino and his team over at Resilient Minds. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to join me here at the Wounded Blue Hour. And you and I will talk again very, very soon.
Thank you so much, Randy. You're doing great work with Wounded Blue, and we're just so proud to be with you. And we love you. And be safe, be resilient, and be healthy.
Thanks, my friend. So before we say adios, once again, I want to talk about the Wounded Blue and what it can do for you and what you can do for it. The Wounded Blue is holding its third annual National Law Enforcement Survival Summit, and that's going to be held in Las Vegas at the fabulous Ahern Hotel, September 26th through the 29th. It is going to be amazing training, but at the same time, it's a time for the men and women of our profession to get together with camaraderie and know that there are people who care about you. It's a one of a kind conference. And I urge you, if you're a law enforcement officer or have been, you know, even if you've retired, you retain the same traumas that you never got rid of, and they can haunt you. Please avail yourself of the Wounded Blue and the Survival Summit. It's you're going to meet people that that literally we've changed lives and we've saved lives. I've had people contact me saying, Randy, if I hadn't come to that conference and met some of the people and realized that I'm not alone, I don't know what I would have done. And you know what that means. So the Survival Summit, check out thewoundedblue.org, scroll down there, get your tickets, register for it, and don't wait. And if you're a police leader, send your cops. They'll thank you for it. And once again, I want to thank Mike for coming on the show. For those of you who are supporting this incredible law enforcement profession, I know that most Americans really do care about their police officers. And how do you show it? Well, one of the ways you can show it is by supporting the Wounded Blue. Go to thewoundedblue.org, hit that donate button, and give what you can. So I want to thank you for taking the time to join me here at the Wounded Blue Hour. I want to thank officerprivacy.com and One Nation Coffee. And thanks for caring enough to spend some time with me here at the Wounded Blue Hour. I'm Randy Sutton, and stay safe.